Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, Keenan McCardell on a day when I am halfway here and halfway gone with a voice that has somehow flown the coop, but Nick is behind the glass and we've had a good conversation going on, kind of a continuation about the Texans. Are you okay with them just getting in, winning the division, and then bowing out? Do you need to see improvement, or is it, to Keenan's point, better to say that you have a chance, you have a ticket to the dance, and you have a chance to run the table as opposed to not even being able to get in the door? You guys have wanted to chime in as well. Noe, you're next on the board. You want to join the conversation? What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, good. I just want to make a comment, man. You know, everybody keeps talking about the playoffs and finishing 9-6 and trying to make the playoffs. You know, the way we're playing, we might not even make the playoffs. There's a lot of problems with the Texans right now. The O-line is one. The quarterback is another. D-Hop isn't playing to his full capabilities, one, because of the quarterback, but also about the money situation with a rookie quarterback making more than he is. And then you go to the coaching, you know, making bad decisions. You know, we might not even be in the playoffs, you know, this season. So there's a lot of issues going on with the Texans right now that need to get fixed.
I mean, I can speak to your point about the franchise giving a quarterback that's unproven the money that D-Hop felt like he should have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right. I'm solely with that. And I think that decision was a bad decision by not rewarding D-Hop. I know he's 2 years in his deal, 2 years out.
Right.
They don't renegotiate it, but he's your superstar on offense. You know, you brought in a running back to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought in a quarterback that was supposed to help him.
And you went out and got a receiver in the first round.
Not only
to get faster, but to relieve some pressure on the
take
double
team. Take
remember
some
his
double
tweet,
team toy. Yep.
No more double teams.
And to say that, you know, 9-7, we're looking at, you know, they have 6 games left. You know, you got the Packers, the Colts, the Jags, the Bengals, and the Titans. You know, I feel good with 3 of those games.
3-2?
Yeah, I mean,
Bengals are fading, and they're starting to put guys on IR.
The Jags, the Bengals. I feel good about the Colts game. You know, the two games I really feel really is the Packer game because they're going to Green Bay. I know how hard it is to play in Lambeau,
but they're also desperate,
and they're desperate. And the Tennessee game at Tennessee. It's a tough game because Tennessee played them very well here.
Yep.
I mean, think about it.
That could come down to the division.
It could come down to the division. But if they go 4-2. We're talking 10 wins. Now we're not talking 9-7.
Right. But are
we happy with a 10-6 team?
I still don't see measurable,
as fans, are you
measurable
happy?
Improvement to say this team can compete with the New Englands and the Pittsburghs and the teams that are favored to win the Super Bowl.
So let me get this straight. You're thinking they're gonna win 4 of the last?
They have 5 left.
5 games?
Yeah.
I can't see
who
that.
Who are they beating? I mean, I
the
think
Colts,
they beat
the
Jags,
the Bengals.
You have them beating the Colts at Indy?
Yes. That's over. That little mystique
you realize. I mean,
the little mystique about all that, it's over.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
The Colts defense is not there. I like the Texans.
So they beat
the Colts,
they beat the Jags, they beat the Bengals.
Yes.
Who's their fourth win between the Packers and the Titans?
It's a toss up. I think the divisional game, I think it's the Titans.
Okay. Because I see them going 2-3 down the stretch, which puts them at 8-8.
I don't see them going 2-3. I really think that they will go 4-1.
Okay,
interesting. And you know what? And that's just me saying that. I was wrong last week, but I think those guys over there on Kirby understand where they are in this playoff hunt.
Well, remember now the Packers have another week with Christian Michael learning their offense, so they're going to have a legitimate running back now as well. So they're not going through what they went
through.
A legitimate
running back that
as opposed to a wide receiver that's been carrying the ball for them. Yeah.
Well, no, James Starks has been back for 2 weeks.
Yeah, James Starks has been back for 2 weeks.
They've been using him more and more.
But some of their losses, that's what I mean. But some of their losses have come with the fact that
if he was
they didn't have a running back
number one.
Now
back,
Barry wants me to talk Packers. I'm letting you guys go.
Seattle now. He wouldn't have got cut by Seattle if he was a legitimate number one.
Legitimate compared to them having to start a wide receiver and Aaron Rodgers leading the team in rushing. Well, a legitimate running back. The fact he plays the position because he is a running back. And the reason the Seahawks cut him is because they had depth. Sometimes there's an odd man out.
I think there's more reason to it than the fact that they had depth.
It was a lot.
There's a lot in the locker room that had because he was their leading rusher.
Yes.
In Seattle.
Well, that's my point. Thank you. You just made my point for me about him being a legitimate running back. If he was their leading rusher.
Right, but he had problems in the locker room. That's why addition by subtraction.
That aside, he's a legit running back.
Without question. And I was ecstatic they got him, but that brings up another point that I was going to ask Travis about later this week that I can get your opinion on that as well, and we'll get to that in a bit. But we still got some calls to get to. Diego, you're next up. You want to talk about the Texans quarterback situation. What's up, man?
Hi, yes. Thanks for having me on, first off. All this quarterback talk had me thinking of theoretical situation. I just wanted to entertain and see what you guys thought about it. So go back 2 years ago to the draft. What if Johnny slips to the second round, the Texans end up picking him up? What would the quarterback situation look like with Johnny Manziel on the roster?
Just like the Cleveland Browns quarterback situation.
Only maybe worse, because it would have been more hyped up in this state and there would have been more pressure to make sure he started immediately.
Right.
And then when he self-destructed, and they had already put all their eggs in that basket, they may have been even worse off.
I don't think the management over at the Texans could have handled Johnny's popularity and what he likes to do. Because, you know,
I'm not sure any team could have.
Well, the Browns tried it.
Yeah.
And they saw what happened. And that's why the Texans didn't draft Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. Johnny Manziel definitely did not fit the mold of what a Houston Texan is supposed to be.
Right.
Right. They draft choir boys. They go out and sign
without
choir
having
boys.
Without having a rap sheet. He had enough. He had enough of an entourage to show you that he wasn't going to be like mild and just listening to what management
said. You can't sweat Jack Daniels and play for the Houston Texans. Like, that is not possible.
You could. You'd have to do it very, very, very nonchalantly. Zach, you want to get in from Beaumont? What's up?
Thanks for having me, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to relate it to the NFC East. I'm a diehard Cowboys fan, and for so many years we were 8-8, 9-6, hitting in that area, 9-7 rather, hitting in that area of the playoffs, and we never could break that point. We never could do anything. I'm not saying that that's going to be the answer, but at a certain point, the fan base will get tired. The New York Giants are an exception to the rule, but as a Cowboys fan and having a lot of Cowboys friends that I'm fans that I'm friends with, we all got frustrated at the 8-8, 9-6, just hanging out, not doing anything.
Well, at 8-8, you didn't get in the playoffs, though, right, Zach? I mean, 9-7?
Yeah, we were making the playoffs or the wild card, but that's all we were doing. And then we were losing to Philly or somebody else again.
Seattle, when your quarterback dropped the ball, you know, which you
– on the hold.
That you had the game won. So what are you saying? I mean, you're not going to get – I mean, you guys got impatient because you guys didn't make the playoffs. I mean, after a while. That's why everybody's on the Cowboys bandwagon now, because it's a big surprise that you guys are in the hunt. You know, and
see, that's a point that we made the other day that no one wanted to hear.
I shouldn't say in the hunt.
No prognosticator before the season had the Cowboys sitting where they are right now. Huh? That's what Tony Romo scheduled to be their starting quarterback. So the Cowboy fans who are now feeling, as they well should, feeling good about themselves. But let's be honest. At the start of the year, no one saw this coming.
Nope. I've got a text. Does anyone remember the 2007-2011 Giants wildcard teams that got hot and ran the table to win it all both years?
And the Packers did the same thing. I get that. Point. Yeah, you've said that.
In the playoffs.
Packers were a wild card in 2010. They did the same thing. But I'm saying, but the same repetitive behavior without showing that flash for being able to do something that you haven't been able to do in the past is what's frustrating to the fan base.
Another text, the goal every year is to win a Super Bowl. If your GM has a ceiling and that ceiling is the first round exit of playoffs, you have to replace him.
Thank you.
And Dr. Dre on 290 for some reason wants me to tell the story of how I lost my virginity. I don't know why this has become a thing, but he sent like three texts.
Because it goes along with the theme of mediocrity year after year after year until you and not looking for the ultimate goal. One. That's what we're talking about.
All right. Finally.
You finally got over him. You got him. You finally got over the hump to go after it, huh?
Well done, my friend.
Oh, he got
well
through the
indeed.
Hump.
Well done indeed.
So, by the way, if you haven't checked Twitter, you would probably not know this, but thanks to my man Keenan McCardell, we've got a huge get coming up at 2:30. Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson joins us on the show. If you haven't got caught up on what's going on with Eric Dickerson and the Rams, you might want to get a quick refresher course on Jeff Fisher and Google it and see what's going on. But he's going to be joining us when he's not joining many, so that's a huge get for us. 2:30, Eric Dickerson. Until then, we'll take your calls and keep talking about Texans, talk about some college football. We've got plenty more show to go. 1 to 4 every day, Monday through Friday, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, it's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, special guest Keenan McCardell helping me get through this laryngitis as we continue to roll on a hump day here in H-Town, as we continue to give you the best in sports and entertainment. And with that, we're also going to have Eric Dickerson join us at the bottom of the hour in a fantastic get, and he's been top of the news lately thanks to a little dispute he's got with his old team, the Rams, but more importantly, the head coach, Jeff Fisher. So we'll talk to him about all that and more. That should be a fun get, and he should join us in about 15 minutes. But before that, before the break, we were talking about the Texans. Are you okay with continually going 9-7? Cowboy fan chimed in. Mac did a little research in the break. He wants to get to that. So we'll get to that before we get to any more callers. Mac?
Our last caller, he was saying that, you know, they were 8-8 and the fan base would get tired. I mean, you were in second place. I mean, you were 12-4. The Cowboys were 12-4 and 14 and lost in the divisional playoffs. So they won one and got to the second round and lost. They went 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, 6-10. 2009, they go 11-5. We're not even talking about 9-7. They're 8-8. 8-8 is not going to get you in the playoffs.
Right.
In the National Football League.
It's funny because we got a text similar to that said, I've lived in Dallas and Houston. I can tell you the difference between the two is that the attitude in Dallas is fans don't just accept making the playoffs.
Right. They want to win.
I don't think Houston does either. I think that's why there's so much more behind this Brock Osweiler criticism.
I'll be honest with you. I think that at first there was that attitude because a lot of us that lived in this city and saw the Oilers leave, when you got football back, you were just happy to have football back.
Sure.
And then you made the playoffs, and you were just happy to have playoff football.
Now we're back in the saddle. Let's go get a championship.
That's my point.
It's time to not
show me the improvements to show me that you're trying to win the whole thing.
By the way, that's what I want to see. Somebody texted before we go to the call. Somebody texted and said, are we supposed to call in with accents today? No. That was a one-time deal thing. Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's a one-time deal because it's inevitably going to happen again.
We may have to do that again Tuesdays at 3:30.
Right. But at the same time, not today. And Nick, I'm surprised you haven't chimed in yet. You're a longtime, lifelong Houstonian. What are your feelings on this?
I know that I get his little chronological history about, you know, as an Oilers fan, you're just, and then, you know, the Texans getting a football team back and just happy to get a football team back. But I'm okay with it, man. I don't know if that makes me a complacent fan, but I'm okay with them going to the playoffs because, like I said, I remember the Texans winning two games and it was terrible.
But it didn't happen consecutively.
No, but it was a very terrible experience.
That's why it's a great discussion to have. And look, again, we don't hate each other. We're just taking different sides, and we have different opinions. That's what makes dialogue great when you're talking about sports. Donnie, you've been waiting the longest. You're in orange, and you want to talk about this week's game for the Houston Texans.
Come on. Hey, appreciate you guys taking my phone call.
What's up, Donnie?
Is that Keenan in the studio?
Yes, sir.
I am right here, Donnie.
Okay, hey, I'm not going to name drop, man, but we share a mutual friend down here in Orange, and we haven't played ball together, man. A couple times in Vinton, Louisiana. So
yes, I dunked on a lot of people in Vinton, Louisiana in that gym that day. I took over the gym that day. You know that, Donnie. And I know you guys down there are big-time Cowboy fans, but you seem like you're a Texan fan. What you got on this
Donnie,
game?
He can't dunk, so let's move on to football.
Hey, yeah, right. I'm actually a Redskin fan, but your buddy is a big Cowboy fan. And I've been having to hear his mouth. But, I'm, you know, living here in Orange or living in Texas, you know, in the Houston area, you you know, I hear the frustration on these Texans fans and their voices. And I don't know if Brock Osweiler is the problem. You know, the loss of J.J. did hurt. But I can guarantee you one thing. After they played Green Bay on Sunday and they look across and see a real quarterback and they see how Aaron Rodgers is getting the ball out of his hands and how crisp he is, and then come back on defense,
Donnie.
Or come back on offense, rather, and see Brock Osweiler, man, I just think they dumped too much in that basket. And I'm not saying you can't win with Brock Osweiler. You know, you got to have a lot of stuff around him. But his mechanics, I don't know what it is, his throwing motion, he's just not getting it done, man. And appreciate you taking my call, and I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Donnie, tell Melvin, don't worry about his Cowboys. We'll play well in the playoffs. But, Donnie, you just made Joel feel so
boy
so good
over here. If Joel had a voice, he would have yelled, rack him.
Yeah, yes. No doubt about it.
Oh, man, Donnie.
Feeling as sick as I feel, I just got a burst of energy.
Donnie, but you're right. You know, they're going to look across the way and see Aaron Rodgers flick that ball around the around the stadium, and they're going to wish they had a guy like that. And, you know, they just happened to miss out on Derek Carr.
How many guys, and Barry, I brought it up and I was a little overzealous, but that one throw, as I know you guys expect, but that one throw in the back of the end zone where he put it through a window about the size of a soda can, how many guys in the league can make that throw?
Not many. That's why he's Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
That's why John Gruden was just salivating over him.
Oh, my God. And it got sick because I told Barry, look, there has been issues between McCarthy and Rodgers. Gruden's not going to tell you that because he's deep into their pockets.
I guarantee you that would be a job that John Gruden would take.
Oh, my goodness. He would leave the booth for that one. No doubt about it. And there's some more to that I want to get to that I've written down that we'll get back to that as well. But we got calls that we got to get before we get to the Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson. So let's keep rolling along. Trey in Baytown, you're next. What's up?
Hey, Joel, what's up, man?
Hello, Trey.
Sorry you're sick, but I wanted to give my opinion on the Texans. Obviously,
what am I, chopped liver, you know, Trey?
Trey, the guy from the same school district as you, who both of you are uneducated because of it, is really upset you didn't call him out.
This is Barry guy.
Yeah, how are you just going to ignore me and the fact that Keenan McCardo is on the show as well? You just call in and say hi to Joel and start giving you...
I'm getting to it.
You don't like the pressure? Leave it alone, man. You didn't say nothing to Nick either? Hang up on him, Nick. Hang up on him, Nick.
Trey, get rid of that guy. Trey, tell him you were going to teach him how to vote first.
Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah, I'm here to spread the knowledge.
All right, go ahead,
Trey, break it down for us.
But with the whole thing with the Texans, I can understand where both you and Keenan are coming from. I mean, you got to be in it to win it. But I understand both sides. As you know, being a lifelong Cowboys fan, I've always wanted my Cowboys to make the playoffs, but they never did. But I think when you get to the playoffs, there's just kind of a different, like, you feel like you're closer. But I agree, getting to the playoffs is definitely goal number one, because you got to be in it to win it. As you know, Keenan McCardo, he played on a team like that. A very good team, by the way.
Thank you.
And any given Sunday.
Talking about the Cleveland Browns or the Washington Redskins.
We were in the playoffs in Cleveland, too. Let's,
yeah.
You can go check my resume how many times I've been
Jags,
in the playoffs.
I believe.
Trey, are you coming from the barbershop? Have you decided to cut those curly locks?
No, but I got a new hat.
Oh, I can't wait to see. Did the truck run it over yet?
Supersonic
yeah,
hat?
Is a Sonics hat that's been run over by 6 trucks on Highway 59?
No, it's a Cowboys hat that's been ran over.
Oh, that's same difference. Trey, we'll see you in a little bit. Thanks for calling. Trey, our intern and a regular with the show.
My dude, Arian's Fetus on Twitter said, yeah, give Trey a break. He's running the fifth period band and trying to make a point.
Not to mention the science experiment that went bad that he's still trying to deal with the after effects of.
Yeah, Keenan's asking, is that Trey with the afro?
Yes,
yeah.
That's exactly it. The illegitimate child of Carrot Top and Robert. What was the Robert Swift, the former first round pick of the Sonics? Johnny in the Woodlands, you want to call and get in on this? What's up, man?
Well, hey guys, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, a couple of things on the Texans. A few things on the Texans. If you look at their losses, they've all been to pretty good teams, with the exception of Minnesota's fallen a little bit. So I think give Brock a little bit of chance. I think he'll win a few games to get him in the playoffs. And his record will speak for itself. He's having a hard time getting into the system. And with the Cowboys, I grew up in Dallas with Bob Hayes, Roger Staubach, not a Romo fan. And Romo, it was just the same thing over and over. Him getting hurt, him not being able to get away from pressure. You know, so it's good to see a strong young man back there leading the Cowboys, whether we make the playoffs or not. He is just such a pleasure to be out there.
Johnny, we appreciate the call, man. Don't be a stranger. By the way, Barry Warner's show is 9 to 10 a.m. on our sister station, 1560 a.m. He has Cliff Harris, Bob Lilly, and several of the all-time Cowboys on a regular basis. You can reach him there on 1560 from 9 to 10 with Dylan Gwynn. It's always a good get to get over there and hear the legendary Barry Warner. But, Mac, from the Cowboys' perspective, we covered that. From the Texans' perspective, we covered that. But let's be honest. I mean, 4-1 going down the stretch for the Texans team is, and what you said about seeing that taking shape, we talked about it in the break, and Barry threw it out there, and I'm with Barry on this. I don't see them winning four. I have a hard time seeing them winning more than three, and I think that they would be lucky to win three, but that means that last game of the regular season is where it comes down to the chance to get in or not get in, and if they don't get in, that's when this fan base is really not going to take it.
Well, I just look at it like this. I mean, Who has something to play for left on the schedule? You know, you got the Packers still playing for something.
Right.
The Colts, it could be.
If the division keeps wallowing, the Colts may think they can still get in.
Yeah, but after this week, we'll know how the Colts feel because their defense is banged up. The Jags are done. They got their U-Haul hitched to their cars already. The Bengals are close to hitching their U-Haul to their cars and
they're
getting ready for the offseason.
3-7 there.
And the
3-7-1.
Packers and the Titans are the only two teams that really have something to play for. So you got to look at that. You know, I've been down this stretch when it's
Barry says, they haven't had any success in Indy.
No. I'll be surprised if they go 3-2.
If Luck doesn't play, okay. Luck plays, then I think the Colts are legitimately in that game.
The fact of the matter is, I think they're going to go over their next, because they've got five games, the Texans. If they go 2-2 and the Titans go 1-2, then that makes that deciding game. That literally, they will both be playing for 8-8.
And that,
I mean, that literally could be what decides this division is that last game of the season. And I can see that shaping up based on these schedules.
I don't think 8-8 gets it.
All right, Mac, you were a player in this league. You played for a long time. You know that ex-players come and go. They come around. They're around the franchise.
Yep.
Want to know if you're okay and your opinion on if they come back and they're back around and how you feel about all that. But the reason why I bring that up is because our guest coming up next is Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson. There's been a little bit of a backlash from the Rams since they went back to L.A. and Eric Dickerson came around the team. We'll talk about that with the man himself, the Hall of Famer. Part of the Pony Express from SMU and Sealy, Texas. Number 29 from the Rams, Eric Dickerson joins us after the break. ESPN 97.5.
November is Movember at Gal Media. Brought to you by the Boardroom Salon and Man Centers. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and, of course, my good friend Keenan McCardell joining us as we try and make sure that the voice that I stole from Wolfman Jack makes it through for 3 hours of big-time radio. So, without further ado, a great get by the show and one Keenan McCardell, but the Hall of Famer, number 29, from the Rams, from SMU and the Pony Express, along with Craig James, and also from Sealy, Texas. We bring in a true Texan, Eric Dickerson. Edie, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Hey, man, no problem. Thank you guys for having me.
So let's get right down to it. I mean, you've been in the news lately, and not as much as I'm sure you would have expected. But the Rams come back to L.A. to give the backstory for some people that might not know. You're obviously a Hall of Famer, a legend, and probably one of the faces, if not the face, of that franchise.
Right.
And the story comes out that that basically they don't want you on the sidelines anymore during games because of the fact that you have a job to do, and you also do media, and you have been telling it like you see it, and when there is something to be called out in terms of the team, you make reference to that, and the whole thing explodes. Give us your side of it.
Well, you know, I've been hearing this grumbling about, you know, they don't like my radio show. I have a show, my Eric Dickerson show. It's on 570 AM for iHeart and in L.A. And they've, you know, been talking about, you know, that they don't like what I see about the team, they don't like what I see about the coaching staff, and, you know, and all I'm saying is what I see as a player.
That's
what you're supposed to, right? As any player, as Keenan would do, as what he sees. And, I mean, look, I'm of course I'm biasing my heart for my team, but I've got to say, I've got to call it just like I see it, because I will never be, what they call them homers, I will never be a homer.
Joel's a Green Bay homer.
Don't let him sell me out like that, Eric. I'm realistic about the Packers, but yes, I'm a Packer fan.
Okay, I'm a fan. I mean, I love my football team. I'm a fan. So, they had the Brown Greg and Sam. I'd ask the request for some sideline passes for some friends of mine. And look, I didn't really need them to get these sideline passes. I could have went to the Hall of Fame to get them. I didn't really need the Rams to get them. But I had some feeling it might be a little uncomfortable for them because of, you know, I've heard the grumbling, but no one has actually had the nerve to come to me and say it. It's been all around. So I asked the guys, hey, man, what about those sideline passes? I asked for some of my guests. Eric, man, well, I don't know if that can happen because some of the stuff has been said about the team and through the PR department. I said, let me ask you a question. Am I lying? Well, no, it's not that. You know, it's just, he said, I'll tell you what, Jeff Fisher and just Les Snead may give you a call. I said, okay, have them give me a call. I said, I welcome that call. So I go home, and it's funny to me. So I get home. It's in the evening. I think it was Thursday evening. I'm talking to my best friend. We went to college together. I'm telling him, he calls me Dick. He said, Dick, man, you joking me. He said, they that soft that you can't say that you can't tell the truth? I said, I guess so. I said, I'm waiting for a call from somebody. So we talk about 30 minutes, and sure enough, I see a 314 number. I said, his name is Charles Drayton. I said, Drayton, let me call you back. And he said, man, I wish I could be on that call. I'll call you right back. Sure enough, I get the call. Hey, Eric, this is Jeff Fisher. I say, how's it going, Jeff? Eric, look, man, I really don't have time for this, but I'm just going to say it. Man, Eric, you can't be talking about the football team and coming on the sidelines and saying stuff about the team, the coaches, my coaches, and expect you're going to get sideline passes. You know, we're not going to have that. You can't come on the field and expect to get stuff from the team and expect stuff from us and say stuff about us. And as long as I'm the head coach here, that's not going to happen. I'm just letting you know we're not doing anything for you. We're not supporting anything you do. You know, so I'm just telling you so you'll know. There's no confusion. You know, so as long as I'm head coach, it's not going to happen. So he said a little few more things, and that was pretty much basically it. So I listened. I didn't say one word. I said, okay, Jeff, I said, you finished? He said, yeah. I don't know if he thought that was it. I said, okay, Jeff. I said, man, I said, first of all, I want to say thank you for the call. I said, I've been waiting for this call. I've been hearing the grumbling. I said, but, Jeff, first of all, let me explain something to you. I am not a kid. I said, I'm a grown man. I said, I have never been the person that had their hand out waiting for something. That's not me. I said, if the Rams feel like I owe them something for something, let me know what it is. I'll send them a check for it. I said, I'll never be that guy. Don't never have to worry about me running around. I'm running around looking for a handout. I said, that's not me, Jeff. I said, anybody knows Eric Dickerson? He tried to cut me off. I said, oh, stop, Jeff. I said, I have the floor now. Okay, Eric. I said, so, like I said, that is not me. I said, another thing. I said, Jeff, you could go coach back to Tennessee. You could go to the Cleveland Browns, the USC, wherever. I said, Kevin Demoff can get fired. Les Snead get fired. I said, but I will always be Eric Dickerson of the Los Angeles Rams. I said, I wore that uniform. I said, that's why I wear that gold jacket. I said, man, I'm going to say what I see. I said, I'm sorry I'm hurting y'all's feelings, but I don't care. I said, look, I'm trying to report what I see. I said, I love my football team. I want my team to win, too. That's all it is. I'm frustrated like everybody else. All of a sudden now, it's a backup. Man, Eric, that's not what we want. We want you to come on the sidelines. Okay, so you don't want me on the sideline, or you do want me?
Yeah, there's
which one you want.
There's legitimate contradiction there. I
mean, which one is it? So now he's bowing. No, Eric, we want you, man. Because we have Jack Youngblood come out. We had Britney Spears come out a couple of weeks ago. The kids. I'm like, I don't give a daring about no Britney Spears. I mean, she's an artist. I mean, I'm talking about football stuff here. They talking about stuff. I don't care about that. And man, so he stopped. We stopped talking. And he said, we talked a little bit more. And he said, Eric, so, look, man, I just want to say, we want you to come be a part of the team. I said, Jeff, I'm going to say this much to you. I said, Eddie George is a friend of yours. I know he's a friend of mine. I like Eddie. I said, in a sense, I give you a pass because of Eddie. I said, but I'm going to say this to you. I don't really know you, Jeff, that well, to be honest. I said, you really don't know me. I said, let's just be honest. You don't know me. I said, you don't even know my personality. I said, so I'm going to say this, Jeff. As long as you're head coach,
You never, ever have to worry about me coming on the sidelines ever again. I don't want my team to feel uncomfortable. I don't want your coaches to feel uncomfortable. And I said, so you don't have to worry about it. And so I said, Jeff, I said, and I want to say this again, man. Thank you for having the guts to call me, because I hear the grumbling, but no one does. And I said, this, Jeff. I said, I know you didn't want to make this call. I said, that little weasel, Kevin Demar, put you up to this. And he busted out laughing. And so
that was your answer right there, huh?
Man, I know who put him up to that garbage.
Man, now Eric Dickerson joining us on Joel Blank Show. Eric, it seems to be a trend now, right? Like, we're seeing guys locally in the media being asked to not getting passes or not participating because the team feels like they're not giving them a fair shake because they're basically giving their opinion. Is this something you see kind of continuing, or man, maybe you bringing this to light puts a stop to it?
I mean, I think a couple of guys have the problem. I don't know if it's been this bad, but I've heard a couple of guys say, man, I want you to say what you really see. I mean, and the reason I brought it up, because this happened really about 2 weeks ago. They called me about 2 weeks ago. And so, you know, the guys always tease me on my show, you know, about Eric, man, you know, you're the most wanted guy in the Rams. You know, they're going to bar you. You can't go to the complex. They're going to bar you from over there. You know, they said they're going to get you, the blah, blah. So I said, since y'all bring it up, I got a call last week. So that's how it came up. And yes, I mean, look, it's the truth. I mean, it's different. If I got on air and said, man, did you see how great the Rams punted the ball? Did you see how they ran down and covered those punts? My God. Did you see all the fans in the sidelines, you know, with their Ram stuff on? People would be like, what the hell is wrong with Eric? I mean, really?
And I can't believe, Eric, I just can't believe that they would think a Hall of Famer would not speak his mind. You know, we go way back, man. And every time we are playing golf or just talking about football, sitting around with all our friends, man, we speak the truth. And I don't understand these players and these organizations now that don't like the truth.
It's organizational. Having worked for a professional sports team.
It's organizational. It is. I mean, it is what it is. They don't like the truth. I did say them. I said, man, I said, are these a bunch of babies? I said, we need a babysitting service? I mean, you can't say nothing about them? I told Jeff, I said, Jeff, I remember my worst football game to this day. I still remember it.
Yes.
Against the Washington Redskins in a playoff game. I had three fumbles. I just could not. For some reason, it was just one of those days. I said, I kill my football team. I said, they said it in the paper. I agreed with them 100%. I mean, I took that home with me. It still bothers me. So, man, it is what it is. Do you think, Kenny, you could try to go out and drop a touchdown pass? You know what? I'm going to drop this touchdown pass on purpose.
No.
No. You're trying hard on every play. You take this stuff home with you. And for us at the Rams, man, it starts at the top. When I look at this regime, it reminds me of the old regime when I was there. It's a bunch of suits trying to run football stuff. They don't know what they're doing, and it's killing us. It's killing the team.
But, Eric, take it a step further. They want to be in that locker room. They want to be with the players. They want to be one of the boys, because I'm coming from professional sports where I've worked in the front office and did games for 23 years. And when you see these guys now, there's a new regime in professional football where they want to think that they have their hands in the cookie jar on the football side as well. And to your point about the media, which we understand, which people don't, you look at why Charles Barkley said Michael Jordan wouldn't talk to him for the last 2 or 3 years. It's because he was honest and told him he's not a good general manager. He's not a good judge of talent. That's why the Charlotte Hornets were bad. Sometimes the organization thinks you owe them something because of the connection to the team.
Most definitely. Sometimes they do feel like you owe them something. But look, the Rams don't owe me anything, and I don't owe them anything, really. I can say this much here. I played for that organization. I feel like I got screwed over by that organization years ago from a different regime. And me and the general manager, that we hated each other. I hated him. We're friends. I talked to him yesterday about this whole deal. And we just had a good laugh about it. And I told him, I said, John, you were one of those suits, didn't know what you were doing. I said, but you learned along the way. He said, yeah, Eric. And he was I give John Shaw this credit, much credit. He was man enough to come to me later and say, Eric, I just want to tell you this, is that trade should have never happened. That was my fault, and it was a big mistake, and you will always be a Los Angeles Ram to me and to our organization. And it takes a big man to say when you did something wrong.
It does. Absolutely.
That's why I have respect for John Shaw, and that's why we're friends. I mean, for that reason alone.
I mean,
right now, our regime, man, it's just, I'll just say this here. It's not good at the top. And any organization, I don't care, big, small, if you got a business, it starts at the top. It doesn't start at the guys
in the bathroom, clean the toilet. It doesn't start with the cooks. You know what I'm saying? Man, our organization is bad because the cooks don't cook right. Unless you got a chicken place, that's different. Say they're selling software. You say, man, everything is so bad around here because the cooks don't cook right. You know, the janitors, they're not cleaning the bathroom. You know, they don't cut the grass out there, right? So we just can't work right. It's not that. It starts at the guys at the very top. And that's one of the problems with our team. I mean, I see it. And I just got to voice what I see because I feel like I'm a fan. I'm like the millions of Ram fans out there. I feel like I'm their voice. They're frustrated. I'm just as frustrated as they are.
Yeah, they see it here in Houston too. The trickle down effect takes a huge, huge front and center stage these days when it shouldn't. And social media plays into that as well. There's too many people paying attention to social media when they should be paying attention to their jobs and let the guys on the field take care of their jobs and the broadcasters take care of their jobs. ED, we really appreciate it. We know you got stuff to do, but we did want to point out too that Barry Warner says that he wanted to say hello, that he's covered you since the days in Sealy, Texas, and he still wants to know who paid for the Trans Am. Barry Warner wants to know who paid for the Trans Am. That's all he had to say, and I will leave it at that.
All right, Barry, I'm going to go ahead. Nobody knows it. I just got to go and tell you, man. Everybody's been asking me about this Trans Am for years, so finally I said, look, I'm just going to go and tell y'all who bought the Trans Am. I'm tired of hearing the question. The person who bought the Trans Am was my grandmother, Viola Dickerson.
Thank you.
Yep. There you go. And as long as the title was signed, sealed, and delivered, that's all we need to know. Eric, we really, really appreciate it, man. You're welcome at our house anytime. We really appreciate the time. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, thanks. All right, bye.
Eric Dickerson's been our guest. We'll be back with a whole lot more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Keenan McCardell, along with Nick Shirara behind the glass. We've been having some fun. That was a huge get. That was unbelievable. That was Eric Dickerson giving us Eric Dickerson's side of the story between him and Jeff Fisher. And I guess I'll start...
The Rams organization, not just Jeff Fisher.
Right, and the Rams organization. And the guy that he kept mentioning, if you don't know about Dimitroff, is the COO, the chief operating officer of the Rams. Because they basically said, why didn't the owner get involved? And Kroenke's so knee-deep in so many other things and so checked out of the Rams, I don't think that he would indulge in all that. But it brings up an interesting question for you guys. Barry is a lifelong Houstonian. Mac, you the same thing. People are starting to notice now that Jeff Fisher has gotten a pass for a lot of years for a 500-level coach. Like, they give him a pass when he left Houston because, hey, man, you got to move the team, and that's tough, and do that, okay? Then in Tennessee, he did make, you know, he made it to a Super Bowl.
He beat us in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and beat y'all in Jacksonville the year that you had a hell of a year. But overall, you look at it, and his body of work is he's a 500 coach, and they're up and down again this year, but they're already talking about another extension for Jeff Fisher. How does he keep doing that?
You know what? You know, I think he's a solid coach. I think a lot of the GMs like, you know, his discipline. He has his team prepared, but all of a sudden, you know he's just not winning right now. I mean, I think you got one of the better backs in the league. You're starting a rookie quarterback. I think him starting a rookie quarterback now saves his job, to be honest with you. I mean, because he can say, well, I drafted this guy and I needed to bring him along. Now he's in. Now give me a shot. Now after I started the guy that I drafted that we traded up to get. So I think this is where he gets another extension because he drafted a quarterback. Most coaches that are probably on the hot seat, you know, they'll draft a quarterback to save their job, to get that extra contract or get that extra year. And plus, you know, they just moved from St. Louis back to L.A. So that transition is kind of the same transition that he went from Houston to Tennessee. So he's been through it. So they may want to see him through that. And maybe it'll turn out the way it turned out in Tennessee and getting those guys to the Super Bowl.
Barry, you good with?
I don't know what it is. I mean, that all makes sense. Either that or he's got nudes of the people he works for, or I don't know. I do think he's a good football coach.
He's well respected around the league.
Yeah, and when you look at his tenure with Tennessee, now he doesn't have a winning season with the Rams, which is a big problem. Any coach that's been with a team for 4 or 5 years and doesn't have a winning record, and he's probably not going to have one again this year unless they pull off some sort of miracle, because they're already 4-7. So one more and he's guaranteed at least 8-8 if he only loses one more game. Between Houston and Tennessee, he had more winning seasons than losing seasons.
Right.
And so it's understandable when a guy gets you to the Super Bowl and he has an overall, I mean, his worst season, you know, was the 4-12 season. But after that, you know, he bounces back. The track record's not there with the Rams, and that's what's puzzling, I think, to most people. I get why he lasted as long as he did in Tennessee, but nothing makes sense why he's lasted as long as he has in the Rams. They've had good teams. They were supposed to be. I remember 2 years ago, the Rams were everyone's pick to make the playoffs and be that bounce back team. They're just not doing it.
Well, he comes in his first 2 years. He goes 7-8 and 7-9. So mm-hmm. You know, the future looks bright.
Right.
You know, so that's probably why. And then he comes back and goes 6-10. He goes 7-9 last year without a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, with Case Keenum. And, you know, they figure Case is just a backup. So they go out and draft Goff. And you know what? He waited. You know, most coaches don't like to play rookies right away. Jeff was probably one of those guys that didn't want to play him and put him under pressure. And Case was losing. Their season was going down the drain. So guess what? He started the rookie. So now I think the franchise is like, you know what? Let's give him a shot with his guy. Mm-hmm. At quarterback before we make our decision. So is that
timing is everything, right?
Timing is everything. If that's giving him a new contract extension, so be it. Boy. But it's I mean he lucked out though. He has a lot of below average records here, and it could continue. It just depends on. But Goff looked really good last week against New Orleans. I mean, they just couldn't stop Drew Brees, and the defense is supposed to be the strength of this team, and that's what he relies on, because he's a defensive coach.
Yep.
And they go to New Orleans, and you know, and they, I mean, not many people are going to stop.
I was going to say, a lot
Saints.
Of defenses have a sorry time stopping Drew Brees. Yeah.
But, you know, but that's their strength.
Well, what about the kid on the other side of the ball from the Packer game? Everybody's talking about Rodgers, but I thought Wentz looked pretty damn good.
He did. He's playing through his mistakes.
Very mature.
Doug Peterson and his staff have done a great job with him, and they're giving him all the opportunities. And, you know, Doug kind of knows when to reel him in, because Doug played quarterback.
Right,
so
right.
He said, we can't overload the circuit too much on him, and let's make it easy for him. And, you know, they're asking a lot of guys around him to make plays, and that's the thing that I like about what Philly's doing. The defense is playing great, and the guys around him are making plays for him. You know, and
I watched that game expecting that a young guy was still going to make some kind of mistake or two that was going to really cost them. And he, again, we go back to that game manager he managed the game well, but he also made a lot of tough throws.
Yes, he did. You could see the potential of him being a big time quarterback, because he's made some of those tough throws. You know, in Los Angeles. You know, they don't have a lot of playmakers around Goff right now. I mean, you got Gurley. You know, I think Tavon Austin is a little overrated, you know, for what they gave him.
Yeah,
they paid him.
Right.
I mean, I don't think he's the number one receiver. I think they're definitely in the market for a number one receiver this offseason. And then you need some more pieces. You know, I like Brian Quick as a number two, but I just don't see them putting the players around the young quarterback like Philly has put the young putting playmakers around the young quarterback.
Barry?
I agree, though. I mean, you look up, like you said, Kenny Britt, what does that do for you? Corey Harkey at tight end doesn't scream nothing much to you either. So, yeah, I mean, other than Gurley, which is a great building block, you know, that formula seems to be working in Dallas. You got a rookie quarterback, you give him a solid running back and a good O-line. But
maybe that's why Jeff's going to get an extension, because he has a quarterback and a running back, and his defense should do well.
And the other guy they rope into that is Marvin Lewis, because they say Marvin Lewis is a guy that, again, much like what we're talking about with the Texans, he gets them to the playoffs. They've been stale. They continue to do the same things. They lost to the Texans 2 years in a row. And then when all hell broke loose last year in a game they should have won against the Steelers in the playoffs,
right. They
end up losing because of Pac-Man Jones and Perfect. And they're saying, okay, the discipline wasn't great. The control isn't there. He's losing his players if he hasn't already and didn't really ever have control of them. That's why they say he and Jeff Fisher are the two guys that seem to continue to get extensions when they don't deserve it.
But Marvin's in the playoffs. That's the difference.
Mm. True.
That's the difference. And the thing about it, if Marvin's not in Cincinnati, is because he didn't make the playoffs. Believe me, the ownership and that management team wants to be in the playoffs every year. They'll take Marvin being in the playoffs every year in Cincinnati.
What we did there, guys, is we brought it full circle. We covered it again and talked about how important it is to make the playoffs. How about that, Nick, with an accent? And we're going to keep it on time. That means we have plenty more to go. We got two in the bag and one more to go. We've got another hour of the show, and we want you to be a part of it. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. You guys have been great. We've had a phenomenal show. Eric Dickerson joins us, and we've got plenty more to talk about and some things I want to tap into in terms of the knowledge of these guys sitting in front of me. For Barry and Keenan and Nick, I'm Joel. We'll be back in a minute. ESPN 97.5.
November is Movember at Gow Media. We're raising funds to help men battle their biggest health issues. Visit Movember.com and search for Gow Media to donate to your favorite hosts. Brought to you by the Boardroom Salon and Man Centers.